I shared this with John a couple weeks ago. John, our praise leader. I love seeing young people right before the service hustling and bustling, trying to set up everything here so that that you could benefit and get into the worship of the Lord. To me, that embodies what the church really is about. The church is not about the individual self, right? Having our own needs met. Our needs are really only met as we try to meet other people's needs. And so they are sacrificing their Sunday morning sleep, and a lot of them come here on Saturday morning to practice. And so imagine, right, young people, they have Friday night meetings. They are here on Saturday morning, and then they're here on Sunday morning, right? And none of them get paid for what they do, but they're coming here giving their time, their treasure, right, and their talent for the good of the body. And so I love seeing that in the morning, on Sunday mornings. It really makes my heart glad. So I want to go in that vein, talking about using what God has given to us as people of God, time, talent, and treasure, and what we are supposed to do with them, and we are supposed to use them for the good of the body, as in the good of the church, the body of Christ. And that's what we want to talk about today. So we're going to take a break from the John series for maybe next couple, several Sundays, and then focus on this new, not a new, but renewed vision that I shared about two Sundays ago when we were having the outdoor service. Okay, so we're going to be in that vein. This message actually is something that I've been wanting to preach for the last 3 months. In the beginning of the summer, I made a note to myself, sticky note in my car, and it's still there. Preach a message, right? Preach a message on us, many parts, but being one, from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So this message has been incubating in me for 3 months, and I get to have the baby today. And so I'm going to spit it out, all right? And so you guys ready to catch, all right? So don't eat the baby, but eat the word, all right? But that's what's going to happen today. Now, if I could sum up the whole message in one sentence, it would go like this. God's excellency is displayed most beautifully when individual members use their time, talent, and treasure to build up the body of Christ, the church. Okay, actually, there's a slide for it, David. God's excellency is displayed most beautifully when individual members, you and me, use our time, our talent, our treasure to build up the body of Christ, the church. Now, that, I believe, is the message that Paul tries to convey to the Corinthians in Corinthians chapter 12. And respectively, not only to the Corinthians in the first century, but also to us living in the 21st century. And so I make four observations from the passage that we just read today. And they are, I'm sorry, three observations. It used to be four, but I'm going to only do three, Kelly. I was translating up there. All right, so point number one, you have a unique contribution to make to the body. Okay, number two, you need the body to keep you alive. And then number three, it is God, not us, it is God who arranges the body and builds it. Okay? So let's go in order. Number one, you have a unique, every one of us in here, you have a unique contribution to make to this body of Christ, the church. You see, God made us each unique. Just look around you, right? No two people are exactly alike. I mean, even the twins. Now I can tell them apart, right? Even though they're identical twins, they're not exactly the same. They're slightly different, and they have different personalities and different gift set, okay? So we are uniquely made. Why? So that we can say, well, I have this, and you don't have this, and then I'm better than you because of this and that. No. So that as a body of Christ, even though we are many members, even though we are diverse, that we can come together and contribute to the good of the body for the common good. Verse 7, we did not read it, but it goes like this. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's talking about each member of the church. Each member is given the manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, a spiritual gift. Something that demonstrates, something that displays the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is given to us for the good of the body. Not for the individual who's serving, but good for the body as a whole. So, that means if you're a Christian, you cannot say, Pastor, I have no talent. I'm not good at anything. I failed out of school. I can't sing. I'm not athletic. I am not good at anything, and so there's no use for me at the church. You cannot say that because you are given a unique gift from God to serve the church. And if you say, I don't think so, God made a mistake with me, well, you're basically calling God a liar. Because God said, I gave you a gift, but you say, you did not. Who's right? God is right, right? Well, where do I get that from? I get that from verse 14, 15, 16, and 17. So let's read it again. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many, right? My body, look at my body. I have the head, right? I got two arms and so on and so forth. So many members. If the foot should say, well, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, well, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. So if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? Let me ask you, why would the foot say to the hand, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body? Why would the foot say that? Probably because foot is, right, thinking that I'm not as important as the hand, because hand is what gets, right, all the things done. Like, for example, a surgeon is praised for his skilled hands, not for his skilled feet. And so feet is maybe a little bit jealous of the hands, and, oh, I wish I were like hands. I can't do what the hands are doing, like grabbing stuff and making stuff and being artistic, and so I must not be very important. Paul is saying that, no, a foot should not say such a thing, because foot has its own unique set of gifts, right? For example, Usain Bolt, I mean, he can, right? That man can move those feet faster than anybody else, right? And then strides are longer. I mean, it makes no difference what kind of hands he has, right? It matters only what kind of leg or what kind of feet he has. So in that case, his feet are more important than his hands. But the whole case that Paul is building is that no, one member cannot say about another member, well, because I don't have your gift and I don't have your talent, I'm not needed here. The same sense, the ear, right, it says, should not say about the eye, well, because I'm not an eye, that I'm not really important to the body of Christ. Well, usually it is true that eyes get more attention than the ear, right? Usually when you look at somebody's, right, feature face, well, you got beautiful eyes, right? You don't usually go up to a person and say, well, you got beautiful ears. Right? That would be weird. Like, why are you looking at my ear, right? Yeah, so eyes usually get more attention, and so ear may feel like, well, eyes are getting all the attention and not me, so maybe I'm not really needed in the body. Well, Paul is making the case that no, that is not true, because if you don't have your ears, then where would your sense of hearing be, right? You can't listen to music. I mean, ladies, I mean, you can't listen to BTS forever. That would be horrific, right? I mean, you'll like just, right, you jump off the building, right? So ears are just as important as eyes. It's just that we have different sets of gifts. So Paul is making that argument. Now, to make a direct application, it is wrong for us to think, well, since I can't sing or right play my guitar like Chen and John, I'm not needed in the worship team at all. Or I'm not needed at a church because I'm not as gifted as they are. Or I can't teach like Pastor LD or Pastor Lundy, you know, that I'm not really needed at church, even though, you know, I think I can teach, but I'm not as good as them, so I'm not really needed. Well, Paul is saying that, no, you should not think such a thing, right? Because you're given a unique set of gifts and talents. And even if you have the same set of gifts as somebody else, it is displayed in a unique way, in your own way, that somehow differs from the other person that can bring glory and honor to God. And so the first message that I want you to get is that every single one of you, if you're a believer of Christ, you are given a unique gift from God, even though you may not agree with it. Okay? Tony, our Tony, not Tony the Tiger, right? Young man that's sitting up there, you know, really ultra cool guy and tattoos and everything, right? He told me that he has fun doing construction. He actually is very good at it because he's coworkers have told me, right? And he works fast, and he knows like a bunch of stuff, and so he actually has fun, and you know, he enjoys doing construction, like ripping out the floors and putting in new floors, and you know, like walls and all of that, and remodeling the kitchen and cabinets and all of that. I mean, he's great at it, and he actually enjoys doing it. That is his gift. Me, not at all. I'm the opposite. I just cannot think of anything more stressful and boring than ripping out my floors and putting it in, okay? My wife, on the other hand, has been begging me to do that for years and years, and it hasn't been done. Like, you know, I have the old engineer's mindset, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, they're still there. Like, why do you want a new one when it's like, you know, it's still there? I mean, if things are growing out of it, then yeah, well, maybe we'll rip it out. But I mean, it's still fine. What's wrong with it? It's not like leaking or anything, right? Because I don't enjoy doing it. It's like I don't really care if it's carpet or hardwood or laminate or what have you. I mean, it's just there, right? Shoot, I mean, when I was living in Korea, we just did everything on one floor, one room for four people, right? This is like luxury to us, and so who cares, right? So I don't care for it. So I'm not into construction at all, right? And I don't even know where to begin, for example. Maybe I'll begin with YouTube, right? How to change the flooring, you know, and maybe I'll start there. But I would have no idea. Right? I'm not good at it. I'm not gifted. However, I love reading, right? I love studying. I love writing things down, and I love making presentations like I'm doing right now, right? I can do that every day. Right? I can do that every week for the rest of my life. That's my gift set. Now, you ask Tony to do that, he will die. He will literally jump off the bridge, right? Because his gift set is completely different than mine. But you see how we can serve in different capacities, right? You are rejoicing with me because I'm able to exercise my gifting. But then again, we are in this nice room because somebody like Tony can go out there, and I've seen him do it like on Saturdays and so on, right? Repainting and the siding and then putting up stuff on the outside, you know, along with other men, right? Because it's a manly thing to do, and I guess I'm not manly in that aspect. But you guys are able to do that so that we can come here in a cozy room and worship God, right? And that's how the body of Christ works. Different people using different gifts for the common good of the body. Maybe you're not gifted in the way that you want to, that you would like, but know that you are uniquely gifted and talented by God, not so that you can use a gift for yourself, but for the good of the body. Okay? So observation number one. Number two, you as an individual need also the body to keep you alive. You need the body, the church, to keep yourself alive. Not only are gifts given to you to help the church. Yes, gift is given to you so that you can help the church. That is true. But as you are serving the church, did you know that you are also, in turn, serving yourself? And if you're not serving the church, if you're not serving the body, not only does the body dies, but you will also die. Why? Because we are interconnected, right? We are a living organism. We are not an inanimate object. I believe Paul was being very strategic when he used the metaphor of the body, a living thing, and not a thing, an inanimate thing such as a wagon, right? Or a house, for example. Because a wagon has many parts to it as well, right? He could have said, well, you are a wagon, right? And you are each different parts of the wagon. Like one is a wheel and one is a handle. He could have said that, but he didn't. Or a house, right? You're a kitchen, you're a living room, but he didn't. He used the illustration of the body, and we are members. Why? Because we are a living being. And if a part is detached from the body, I'm sorry for being graphic, but let's say like somehow like my arm broke off. I mean, literally like broke off, severed off, right? My wife, like, you know, was sleeping, and then, you know, somehow she did the chop suey, and then my arm got broken off, right? And it's like bleeding, right? And I recognize it in the morning. Whoa, there sits my arm. Like, what's it doing there, right? It should be like up here. Now, I don't know the medical, how long, you know, my arm could survive without being attached to my body. You got to ice it, right, if it ever happens, and then take it to the emergency room, and they can attach it back. But, I mean, you only got limited number of minutes or hours, right, before the arm, what happens to the arm? It completely dies, right? And once it dies, I mean, you can't put it back anymore, right? Because it's a living thing. Why? Because it gets its I guess you can say, nutrition from my body. I don't know exactly how that works. Maybe, like, platelets or blood, you know, gets in there and supplies oxygen and nutrients that it needs so that it can move, right? But it needs to be attached to my arm in order for it to survive. Now, that is not true of an inanimate object, right? Just last week, I swapped out the tire of my mother-in-law's sister's car, right? I can just take it out, right? I can take it out and I can get it fixed, and then I can leave it out for a year or two. It's fine, right? It's made out of rubber. It's not going to change anything. I can put it back, and I can even put it into somebody else's car as long as it's the right size, and it will work just fine. But you can't do that, right? I mean, Novak Djokovic just won U.S. Open. I can't, you know, go home and then at night sever his arm and then put it on my arm and expect to play tennis like he does, right? That won't work. Why? Because we are a living being, right? And my members are also living things, and it needs to be attached to my body in order for it to survive. So imagine if my arm decided, if it had a brain of its own, you know what? I don't want to do anything today for the rest of my life. I'm sick of serving the body. I'm just going to lay there, do nothing, right? And it's not going to bring food to my mouth. Like, I'm always feeding the mouth. I want to feed myself, right? And it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, feeding the mouth. What happens? Well, body starts dying because I'm not bringing the food. I'm not using my hand to bring food to my mouth. And my body dies. And when my body dies, what happens to my arm? It also dies, right? And that's why I'm saying that unless you're serving for the common good, the greater good, the body of Christ, unless you're doing that, you start dying. Right? You start dying spiritually. I think you can also see it this way. We are created to live in a community, all human beings. And if you're a parent, then you know this very well, right? From the very early age, they need people around. And you know this, right? Psychologically, let's say a baby is left alone without a family to care for the baby, right? She will have psychological problems all her life, not having that family to care for her and love her. And as parents, those of you are parents, right? We just started our school, but we know what it feels like when our children don't have any friends, right? Doesn't it break your heart if we ever see our child out there and always by herself or himself and everybody else is playing with each other, but she or he is always by himself, right? Not being able to get along with other kids. Why do we worry? Why are we concerned about that? Because we know that we are social beings. We know that we need other people, and we want our children to do well in that he has friends, right? Like a normal people do. And so we are social animals. We are created to be in that social environment. It is not, okay, godly when you hear something like somebody say, well, you know, I really don't need anybody else. I only need God. God is all I need. Even though that sounds very godly, it's not biblical. When God made Adam in the beginning, right, what did God say? To everything else, it was good, it was good, it was good. But he said it was not good that the man was alone. And so he created Eve, and he put them together in a community, right, a group of people. And they had children and so on and so forth, and they were to live in that community. Did you know that very nature of God is also of a community? There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? And they always coexisted, three of them. Triunity, three in one. They always had the community within them present. And because he's a God of community, right? Triunity, that when he made us in the image of him, we are also social creatures, just like him, and we need one another. That's why we need the church, right? If we are not serving, if you are not plugged in, you will start dying. And one way you know that you're dying is that you feel like you can live without it. Okay? If you start thinking, you know, I don't need the church, I'm fine without it, I can just make it on my own, that's how you know that you're spiritually dying. Just like a soldier, right, during World War II, he's freezing to death, right? And then after a while, he doesn't feel anything. Yeah, I feel good. I used to feel very cold, but I feel nothing. Well, you're about to die, and that's why you're not feeling anything, right? That's a condition that we could be in without the church. We are mutually dependent on one another. That means, people, it is not good enough that we go online and listen or even watch a live worship online on Sundays. That's my church, right? I click on YouTube and the whole service is right there. I'm going to watch it in front of my monitor and I'm going to worship. I'm going to sing together. I'm going to listen to a good message. I did church, okay? So I do go to church. No, you don't. Because all you're doing is what? Consuming, and you're not contributing at all, right? It's like my arm severed and it's on the table, and all I want to do is be fed. I don't want to feed. I don't want to move. I don't want to do anything for the body. Just feed me, right? And expect to live. No. You come, right? You get dressed in the morning. You wake up, right? You're giving your time, right? And some of you are giving your talent and treasure. It inconveniences you to be here. It was pouring rain. But what are you doing? I'm not doing this for myself, right? But I'm actually doing it for the body. And as you do that, guess what? My third point being that you are going to be helped in the process. And we'll see that. Number three. So, first observation is that you have a unique contribution to make to the body. And number two, you need the body to keep yourself alive. And then thirdly, it is God who arranges the body and builds the body. It is God himself who arranges the body and builds the body. It's not human engineering. It's not the cute business mindset that does that, human mindset, but it is God who does that. Verse 18 says this, "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." So who puts the members together? Who puts you guys together into our church? You thought, well, it was my friend who invited me. Or maybe, you know, you heard Pastor LD's preaching and I liked it, and so I decided to say. You thought it was you, but the scripture says, no, it was God. Right? God influenced your mind so that you thought, you know what, that's my church. I'm going to belong there. That's where I'm going to go, right? Those are my people. Well, God influenced you so that you made that kind of decision. God, and then after that, God assigned you a role, right? By giving you a specific gift to work for the good of the body. Listen, a church is not, again, a product of human engineering, okay, or business acuteness, but it's a living organism arranged by God, okay? God arranges the body as he chooses, and God brings the parts that he needs for the local body to create it uniquely and beautifully. Now, when we first started our church, I didn't understand this principle very well. So I'm just going to admit, right, my mistakes. And if I were to do it again, then I wouldn't do it this way. I was very confused in the beginning, right? Because there are two camps of on this, on how to start a church and how to grow a church. And there are a lot of business-minded pastors who will use business principles in order to grow the church. And they do a very good job. And the type of books that they ask you to read are books like Good to Great, right? Or Seven Habits of a Highly Successful, you know, People. Or there are a bunch of other leadership and good books out there. And I went to conferences, right, Christian conferences, and I listened to these speakers talk, and sometimes the business CEOs would come and then tell us how they grew the business. Basically, what they're telling us is that, well, look at our church, we are a mega church, or look at our corporation, right, we are a multi-billion dollar corporation, and these are the principles that we have employed. So you little church planters, right, why don't you learn from us, and why don't you employ these business principles, and if you do that, take it back to your home, copy it, do it exactly like we did, then you'll be a success too, right? So not knowing anything better, right? Oh, yeah, okay, well, that makes sense. Okay, we'll do that, right? Homogeneous principle and all of that, young people and blah, blah. So let's do that. But so many of them do not work out. And then they quit. It's like, we did everything they told us to do and it did not work out. Why didn't it work out? Right? I think God let them fail. Why? Because we're not trying to build a robot. Right? We're not trying to build a wagon. We're building a human being, a body that represents Christ, a living alive, right? An organism. How do you do that with an engineering mindset, with the business mindset? You can't. You have to allow God to do it. Parents, you got your babies, right? I mean, do you go, you know what, today I'm going to attach the little toe to my baby, right? It's time, right? Or in little fingers. I mean, that thing is like, I'm going to take it out a little bit because he's a little too short. You know, we don't do that, right? God does that. All we do is just feed it, and God brings it on its own time. So it is God who has to build and not our business mindset or engineering mindset, right? And it took me a while because I was a former engineer that I try to control it, that if I do this, if I make these moves, and if I do that, then it will grow. But flat on my face, right? Because God was teaching me. No, it's my spirit. It's my spirit that will lead it. So it is God who builds the body. It is Him who arranges the body. What does that mean? How is that a practical thing? Let me give you an example. So as I was going to these conferences and as I was reading these business books and so on and so forth, right, it was almost as if I heard a voice. That voice said to me, and I knew later on that it was the Holy Spirit saying to me, hey, if you're following all these business methods and principles, then where do I fit in? This is God speaking, right? Do I need to be present in this model of church for it to be successful? And in the end, if your church became successful, whatever that successful means, who gets the credit? Is it going to be your brilliant engineering business mindset, or is it going to be me, the Holy Spirit? Right? Now, that was the same voice I heard when I was 19 years old and on my first dance party at the college, saying, what are you doing here? The moon dancing, right? I hear, what are you doing here? What am I doing here? I never set foot in there ever again, right? Not saying all dancing is evil, right? And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, for me, that was the case. And it was the same voice that I heard when I was finishing up seminary and considering moving to the West Coast, the voice that said through the Word of God, wherever you go, I'll be with you. Okay. And it's the same voice I heard when I was considering starting this church 8 years ago. I'll be with you. The word that he has spoken to Moses. I'll be with you, and this will be a sign to you. And then he sent me LD and Angie, if you don't know the story. So this goes along with this point, how God arranges, how God picks and chooses the members to belong to a church. Okay, some of you heard this before. About 9-10 years ago, I was in agony regarding God's will for my life, as I knew that my first assignment of being a youth pastor at a large Korean church was done. It took me 2 years to figure out that I was done, basically, at that church. It wasn't the kids. It wasn't anything. I just knew God. I was sensing that, yeah, my task is done, right? I've done everything that I could do for that church, and so I'm done. I am to move on. I knew that, but I didn't know what to do. What is next? What do you want me to do, God? What is your will for my life from now on, right? I was, what, 38 years old, right? Still young. What do I do? Do I go back to East Coast, you know, to the Bible Belt and find a pastorate there? Or do I go down to California, right, where there are a bunch of Korean and Asian Americans, right? And then do I start a church there? Or what do I do? But I was sensing that God wanted me to stay right here in Tacoma. Why would God send me all the way here from the Bible Belt in Virginia, southeastern Virginia, so that I can move back? It didn't make sense to me. So I knew that God wanted me to stay in this God-forsaken city called Tacoma. Only because we are the least gay. And I love Tacoma now, right? Because this is a city that I've lived longer than anywhere else, all right, all my life. And so I decided, okay, I think I'm to stay here, but what am I supposed to do, right? Am I supposed to start a church? God, do you want me to start a church? And so this is, I pulled a Gideon, right? I pulled a fleece. I told God, if you send a family along with us, right, myself and Janet, then I know that it is your will. But I am not going to do it alone. I'm too scared. I can't do it, right? If you send a family along, then I know that you want me to start a church here in Tacoma. A few weeks later, Angie and LD wanted to have dinner with us, so we went to Red Robin, right? Was it Red Robin? Yeah, we went to Red Robin. Our kids were very young back then, all right? We went to Red Robin, and then... So we started having conversation, and they popped a question, basically. Hey, are you thinking about planning a church or starting a church? Yes, I was surprised because we haven't really told anyone at that point. They somehow figured it out. And then they said, we want to go with you if that's the case. And I knew then, right? Hair is like rising like in the back of my head. Oh, this is of God, because that's exactly what I asked for. However, I only asked one question. He gave me two answers. My question was, do we start a church here in Tacoma? Well, his answer was yes, by giving us a sign, right? But the second question that I have not even asked, he answered, and that is that it's to be a multi-ethnic, diverse church. Because up to that point, I assumed that it's going to be a second-generation, English-speaking, Korean-American church if I ever start a church here. That's what a person like me would do. But I knew as soon as they joined, it's not to be a Korean-American church. It will be a diverse, multi-ethnic church. And the people that followed afterwards, right, that joined, were of that nature, such as the Augustines, right? Nitra and so on. I mean, you guys joined very early. Marco joined us when we were still at Jason Nee and so on and so forth, right? And there are some of you, yeah, that were present in from the very beginning, right? Lydia joined us very early, so we knew, God wants us to go there. So what I mean is that God brings people together, right? Even though we didn't really mean it. That was not my direction. That was not my vision. But by bringing these type of people to us, he was dictating. He was directing. He was leading. All we had to do was sit back and observe where he is leading us. So even today, you know what we do? Find out where God wants us to go. In our leaders meeting, we don't go, you know what? Why don't you, like, what do you think we should do, right? I mean, just come up with a vision, right, for our church. No. Where is God leading us? And one way that we know where God is leading us is to see what kind of people God is adding to our ministry. About four or five years ago, right? When we first started our church, we had no youth. They're all little kids. But the Mins joined us. And soon after, twins joined us. And then Marco joined us. And so guess what we thought at that point? Oh, we got a bunch of youth coming. Maybe we are supposed to start a youth ministry. And so we did, right? And it's going great. And Pastor Lundy is doing a great job, right? Discipling these kids. And then a couple of years ago, it was the same thing. When we first started our church, the only Korean family was just my family, right? And then soon some other Korean people started coming, even though they don't understand the language and they got to listen to the translator. They just kept on coming. And so we thought, you know what? Maybe we're to start a Korean group. And so we did. And they're doing a wonderful job serving and sacrificing and whatnot. And so we are growing organically, okay? We don't set the agenda with our business mindset, right? With all the studies of the demographics, and this is what will work. No, God, where are you leading us? What are you telling us? We want to go where you want us to go, right? So we grow slowly because we are growing organically, and, you know, usually the organic stuff, you know, bananas are smaller than the steroid, you know, fed bananas, right? Huge, like bananas from Costco, right? But it's healthier to me, right? But more importantly, more pleasing to the Lord, because we are doing it his way and not our way. So God assigns our talents and gifts, and we should be content because God puts us exactly where we need to be with exactly the kind of gifts the church needs. So let me conclude. There's number four on your bulletin, but we are not going to go there, okay? Maybe next week. But let me summarize it. So you, the church, each member, you have a unique contribution to make to the body. If you're not contributing, then this body is operating at less than its optimal condition. You are actually depriving this church of your gifts and talents if you're not serving. Number two, you need the body as much as the body needs you. You draw your meaning from serving something greater than yourself. And that one of those greater than yourself is the body of Christ, the masses, right? So when the church lives, when the body lives, you live spiritually. And then thirdly, it is God who arranges and builds the body. If you are here, God brought you here because you are needed here, right? For both the body and for yourself. If you're a faithful member of As One, God brought you here. Okay? Not yourself. So then, how can you contribute? I want you to actually help in this regard, because it is too big for just the leadership, right, about 5-6 of us to figure this out. And that's why I made up this little sheet. I don't want to put it all on the leaders to come up with, you know, how we can get everybody involved. And the way normally most churches do, I realize, is, well, here are the needs. Here are the things that church want to do. Now, how many of you can help us do these things? That's how we normally do it. And I've done it that way too. But I thought, you know what? Let's go the other way. Why don't we identify your gifts, right? Why don't we identify your talents and see where God might be leading us, right? And then see, you know, oh, I didn't know somebody had a gift in this. Maybe we should be going this way, you know. Maybe somebody has a gift of, like, teaching, like, international students, and maybe we should be reaching out to the international students, maybe offering, like, ESL classes or what have you. I don't know, right? But we want to go that way, looking at you, looking at what gifts and talents you have, and then decide on the direction of the church rather than deciding on it, and then you follow us. And that's why this sheet is given to you. So let me pray, and then I will get into explaining this, and then I will dismiss you. So maybe we don't have to do praise after. Is that okay, Chan? John? All right. So let me pray, and then end this message, and I'll go further explaining this. Father, thank you so much for just, blessing us, Lord, with so many talented and gifted people. I know that they're there, and they're dying to serve, and I'm at fault, because of my burnout and all that I have not been utilizing it, and I've been putting it all upon myself and a few others, Lord, depriving them of the joy that they can have in serving you and racking their reward in heaven. But this is a new season, Lord. Forgive me of that trespass, but don't deprive of these people of the joy of and the meaning that they get from serving you, serving your body, and seeing it grow, Lord, and so that they may rejoice in something greater than simply themselves, Lord. Help them to understand this principle, biblical principle, Lord, because they practice it and not because they simply heard about it. Thank you so much for being with As One, Lord. You are truly the head of this church. We are all parts, Lord. And we want to do our part and truly contribute, Lord. So open our hearts and minds, Lord, as in the next couple of weeks, Lord, as we think about what can I do? How can I serve the church so that your name may be glorified and that we may live? Thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.